It's the Matt Bubala Show on Radio 720 WGN. The big story today, well, yesterday now, the IAAF upheld its ban on Russia's track and field team for the Rio de Janeiro Olympics, which are coming up just a couple of months away, not even a couple of months away, a month and a half now. What will happen next? Joining us on the phone, you remember him, longtime reporter at the Chicago Tribune on the Olympics and all sorts of sports, now reporting on his own and for the United States Olympic Committee. Philip Hirsch joins us on the phone. Hey, Philip, how are you?
I'm fine, thank you. I've been just finished watching the press conference from Vienna, which the International Track Federation announced its decision in the case of whether Russian athletes would be able to compete or not in at the Rio Olympic Games in track and field.
Now, let's backtrack a little bit and understand this. The announcement I read said upheld its ban. So we already knew that there was a possibility that they would be banned, and then they just had more meetings to decide whether to uphold that or what happened here. What happened today exactly?
They appointed an independent investigator to look into this further, and what happened today was they decided that they came to a sort of Solomonic decision in which they said that no athlete will compete in track and field at the Rio Olympics under the Russian flag. They left an opening for athletes, quote, outside the system, end quote, who can, quote, demonstrably able to convince people they were, quote, demonstrably, end quote, clean, to have a chance to compete as neutrals. And what this is going to lead to is perhaps a massive bureaucratic backup of athletes applying and trying to have their cases considered one by one.
So is there precedence for that? Have athletes competed in the Olympics before sort of under no flag?
They've competed under the Olympic flag, but as far as I can recall, it's always been for a geopolitical reason, not right. A doping reason. For instance, the former Yugoslavia was banned at Barcelona in 1992, and its athletes, athletes from some of the former Yugoslav republics, competed under the Olympic flag. Athletes from East Timor did that at the Sydney Games. There is going to be a refugee a team of 10 athletes at the Rio Games competing under the Olympic flag. But This is the first time, so far as anybody knows, that such a solution has been adopted in a doping or other related case.
Now, they're hoping, Russia is hoping at least, that they will look at those individuals and possibly allow them to still compete under the Russian banner, correct?
Russia right now is reacting with dismay, as was to be expected, and they're probably going to challenge, at least, the pole vault champion, Yelena Isinbayeva, has already said she's going to take this to the European Court on Human Rights grounds. The Russians will undoubtedly challenge this to the Court of Arbitration for Sport. So, yes, they are going to challenge it, the ruling that only athletes are able to compete under this limited possibility of being neutrals.
And what do you think of that? Because it's very interesting when they're saying demonstrably show that they're clean. I mean, they take the test. How else can they demonstrably show that they're not associated? You know, is this a way for them to punish Russia because they believe systematically they keep pushing these athletes into doping?
Well, they made it very clear that systematically they are pushing athletes into doping. And more than that, systematically they are tolerating it. Whether they are advocating it, in all cases, they are clearly tolerating it. So they basically said the whole Russian doping control system is corrupt and tolerant of doping, but they wanted to leave open the possibility, and the Rune Anderson, the independent investigator, said it was done for legal reasons. They wanted to leave open the possibility not to condemn every athlete, to leave open the possibility to have some athletes compete, because they expected legal challenges, and they will get them. And as long as they've created some sort of out, it might give them a chance against these legal challenges.
Russia seems to be trying to spin it as, well, there's some bad apples here, but you can't punish all these good athletes that have spent their whole lives working hard, seemingly ignoring the part where the entities are saying, no, it's Russia that's causing the problem, not these individual athletes.
To that I would say, let's go back and look at the case of Enron, where the upper management of the country was doing things that were not legal, and the company went under, and a lot of innocent people suffered. That's what happens. It's too bad, but if you're part of a thoroughly corrupt system, sometimes just being affiliated with a thoroughly corrupt system is enough to wind up having a serious effect on you.
Now, Philip, if we could go back for a minute and explain how they're finding out that these athletes in this system is so corrupt. Aren't they reanalyzing tests from, like, the 2012 games and earlier now?
Well, they've got an 8-year statute of limitations, so they've reanalyzed. They have no statute of limitations for doing retesting. They have a statute of limitations 8 years of applying penalties. So they did do 2008. They did do 2012. The Russians have promised that they will not send to the Olympics any athlete who has been previously positive for doping. That was one of the concessions they tried to make, that they were making in an attempt to have the ruling against them be less stentorian.
Yeah, and so that seems like fair. It's like, hey, these athletes aren't even around. There's a whole new set of athletes that have spent their whole lives working to get here, so we won't send anybody that's tested positive before. But that was not enough to appease the powers.
This now goes to the International Olympic Committee, which is apparently having an executive board conference call tomorrow and a meeting on Tuesday, in which it has already been laid out that they're going to discuss, quote, individual responsibility versus collective guilt. Mm-hmm. So I think that even though the International Track Federation already offered up a compromise today, I think the International Olympic Committee will push for an even wider-reaching compromise. It's a very interesting thing. If you read the Olympic Charter, the section on eligibility for the Olympics has been changed. The language that gave the International Olympic Committee ultimate say over who is eligible, I can't find anymore. It now is clear that they are leaving that up to the individual international federations, which is what they try to do. They try to let the international federations set their own standards. So, I mean, what you're going to have here is a lot of lawyers are going to make a lot of money between now and the Rio Olympic Games.
Was any of this based on the testimony from the athletes who they're retesting? Have the athletes said, well, yes, but here's how that happened, here's why that happened? Has there been a lot of evidence pointing to it wasn't just me individually trying to get better, it was the culture and the system that I was under?
So far, I have not, in the reaction from those athletes who have been identified as having test positive in retesting, I have not seen that sort of reaction.
And with this whole retesting, so it's all these years later that I know they have 8 years to apply punishment. Is this happening now because the technology's gotten better and they can go back to these samples and find things that they couldn't find previously?
Well, the technology has clearly gotten better. The question of how well the samples are stored always will be a question. I mean, these samples do deteriorate over time, and if they're not stored properly, they'll deteriorate faster. So they are doing it with better technology than they had before. But there clearly could be legal challenges mounted to what the accuracy of some of that testing.
Yeah, so that's going to be interesting. And is Russia the only country that's really embroiled in this? I mean, if they're going back and doing all this extra testing, I imagine a lot of countries are being retested, but Russia's the only one so far?
No, there have been a number of countries. I don't have the exact list. I saw that the other day that some Kazakh athletes were caught up in this. Apparently, there are athletes from a number of countries, and it's not all track and field athletes. Athletes from a number of countries have been caught up in I'm trying to remember the exact number of positives. I think it was 23 from 2012, and a certain number more from 2008.
With this retesting and what's being said now, are there medals that are being taken away as well, or were none of these athletes caught in,
No, medals will be stripped. That's where your 8-year statute of limitations comes in. I mean, for years there have been discussions. When the Berlin Wall fell and the records kept by the Stasi, the East German secret police, became available to the public in the late 80s and early 90s, there has been a lot of very, very direct evidence of the amounts of doping and the whole doping system that existed in the former East Germany. And yet, because that happened so long ago, once it was discovered, and at that point the International Olympic Committee didn't even have an 8-year rule in place. I mean, there's always the talk, of course, was always about the 1976 Olympics, and there's a very, very good documentary that USA Swimming has just done, which is about to come out about that, where the East Germans won 12 of the 13 gold medals in swimming, and there's been a lot of pressure applied over the years to either strip the medals and give them to the next person or do something, but they did not have the legal means to do that over the years. Now they have a legal means established to change results going back as far as 8 years based on retesting.
And even if they can't take away a medal because they can't legally do it, say, for whatever, they could award another medal to somebody, couldn't they?
Well, they're not. One of my problems with with the East German clear evidence that a lot of those East German swimmers doped, one of my problems with reassigning medals or moving people up is that the testing of the other athletes may not have been any better. Mm. So, I mean, you're basing a reassignment on the fact that you think that the other people weren't doping. I mean, many, many years ago, swimming, and not even so many years ago, swimming didn't even test the top three finishers at the Olympic Games. So, you know, it's a very, very slippery slope.
Yeah, interesting. We're speaking with Philip Hirsch. You can find him on his website, globetrottingbyphiliphirsch.com. He's writing for the United States Olympic Committee website, teamusa.org. When we come back, a little bit more about the upcoming Olympics, which he'll be at. I also have some questions outside of the Olympics for Philip. That's next. Matt Bubala with you, Radio 720 WGN. The Matt Bubala Show on Radio 720 WGN. We're speaking with Philip Hirsch. He wrote forever for the Chicago Tribune for the Olympics. Now he's out on his own. Globetrottingbyphiliphirsch.com is his website. And Philip, are you already writing for TeamUSA.org?
I have done four feature stories on athletes for them. One on actually a Chicago native, Becca Mann, a swimmer hoping to make the Olympic team in the 800 meters, who has also written a fantasy book and that's been published, and then is going to University of Southern California to their film school to study screenwriting, which is a remarkable achievement. I also run up on Ibtihash Muhammad, who will become the first person to wear hijab while competing for the United States in the Olympics. She's a Muslim fencer. Written one about Allyson Felix and why it is that the country has not given enough credit to one of its greatest athletes ever. And the fourth one was about African-American gymnasts, given the history of African-American gymnasts in the United States, given that our two top female gymnasts, reigning Olympic champion Gabrielle Douglas and three-time reigning world champion Simone Biles, are both African-American young women.
Well, excellent. Sounds good. So you can find all that at teamusa.org and Philip's website, globetrottingbyphiliphirsch.com. So the Olympics are coming up August 5th as opening ceremonies. How early do you get there, Philip? A week ahead of time or just a day? Or what do you
do? Used to be a lot earlier. Now that I'm more on my own, I'll be there. I think I get there the Tuesday before the games begin.
Okay. And everything pretty much outside of this stuff that's going on now so far has been about either the poor quality of the conditions at the Olympic sites or the Zika virus. So going into this, how much concern do you have about any of that, and how much do you think it will affect the games?
Well, Rio has, this is the latest, obviously, a problematic area for Rio, which has been inundated with them since 2009 when they won the vote. At a time when their economy was booming, it was one of the developing economies, Russia, India, China, Brazil, and there's a fifth one which is escaping me. The economy has since then done a 180, which has caused incredible financial pressure on putting on the games. There have been problems with getting the facilities built. There were promises made about cleaning up the water in some areas where athletes are going to compete that have not been kept. There is, of course, now the Brazilian government, the president has been impeached, and there's an interim person running the country. And then, on top of that, you've got the buzzing in your ear from the Zika virus, and the effect of that is yet to be determined. And there are a number of athletes and others, including Savannah Guthrie of NBC, who is pregnant with her second child, who have decided that they don't want to run the risk of going to Rio and the possibility that being bitten by one of these mosquitoes could lead to birth defects in their child. So, I mean, the World Health Organization has said has advised pregnant women or women who intend to get pregnant to probably avoid travel to Rio. That is not going to stop a lot of athletes, for whom, particularly athletes in the non-professional sports, even though there are professional swimmers and professional track athletes, but other than sports like basketball, those athletes who can only have a chance once every 4 years to do that, most of them are going
to
go.
Yeah, it'd be tough to say no to that. Well, and so they're only advising the women, but what about the men? Because the Zika virus gets stored in semen. If there's a young male there who's planning on possibly getting his wife or partner pregnant, that can be an issue too, right?
Yeah, they're actually the problem. One of the big problems with the Zika virus right now is that the amount of research on it has not been that great so far, and so there's a lot of guessing going on. The definitive answers are not easy to come by. I mean, men have been advised. Men returning to the United States contracted the virus, which mostly in young healthy males would lead to sort of mild flu-like symptoms. They've been advised to practice safe sex for a period of 8 weeks, and if you're intending to get your partner pregnant for a period of maybe 3 months, to practice safe sex. So which obviously involves use of condoms. It's not what clearly it's not what Rio signed up for when it became Olympic host in 2009.
Yeah, absolutely not. Now, thinking back on that time, and I don't remember what you wrote about it at the time because it's a long time ago now. But Chicago was in the mix. Chicago fell out very quickly once they started voting. But looking back now, if we would have gotten those Olympics, what do you think the headlines would be in Chicago right now?
The headlines worldwide would be mostly about the gun violence in the city, without question. And the headlines in Chicago over the previous 3 to 4 years, given the budget deficit that Mayor Daley informed us existed when he was leaving office, the headlines would be all about money, clearly about money. There'd be some stuff about inconvenience, but there would be virtually all of it would be about how are we going to afford this, why are we doing this, et cetera.
So do you think in the end it's better, but we're better off not getting them?
Given the financial problems that Chicago has experienced in the now 7 years since that vote, it probably is a better It's better for the city that they don't have to try to justify putting on a bread and circuses event, even though I'm absolutely sure it would have been a great success, and I think it would have enhanced the image of Chicago. What the International Olympic Committee could have made a much safer choice had they chosen Rio, Madrid, which even 7 years ago was probably within 2 or 3 years of being ready to have the Olympics then. Mm. So, that's 2020 hindsight. I think that, I wouldn't be going to my 18th Olympics if I didn't think there were positive things about the Olympics, and I do think there are positive things about the Olympics. You know, in a world full of conflict, even in 17 days of relative peace among people from 200 and something nations is not a bad thing. In one place, in a competitive environment, which creates friction of its own. But, you know, clearly, given what has happened to Chicago financially since 2009, trying to justify spending all that money on the Olympics, whether or not it made a profit, and whether or not, I mean, where it might have helped Chicago in the long term is I think that some federal money could have been freed to help our transport system, which is critical to the city remaining competitive in the 21st century. So there would have been some tremendous advantages for having the Olympics out beyond having a Olympics and Paralympics, essentially a one-month party. I think there could have been some long-term advantages, but clearly the short-term problems that Chicago, and which may be long-term problems that Chicago and the state of Illinois are facing, are so gigantic that it may be the best that the city is not the host.
You mentioned relative peace at the Olympics, and that has not been talked about very much because of Zika and because of the waterways and everything else going on in Rio. So how well are they prepared for the possibility of terrorists or things like that?
Well,
I'm sure that's
really
on their
minds. An interesting point you make, Pat. I mean, normally, given the world situation at the moment and given what has just happened in Orlando, given what's happened in France, given what goes on in Iraq far too often and other places in the world, normally the highest discussed issue at this point would be security, and there is virtually no discussion of that at all. One has to presume that that is the number one priority still for the Brazilian Olympic organizers and for the Brazilian government.
Well, I guess you'll tell us more about that when you get there. We've got to go, but real quick, you're still a member of the Baseball Writers Association, correct?
No, I'm not, as because I've been away from the game for 10 years.
Okay.
I could have appealed. There was no reason to appeal. Mm-hmm. I like the reasons that they the reasoning that they had about keeping Hall of Fame votes. So mm-hmm. I simply said, I'm fine with this. I'll no longer have a Hall of Fame vote.
Okay. Well, just
I'm still a member of the honorary member of the Baseball Writers, but I am not
a voting member for the Hall of Fame anymore. Well, tell me, there was a big kerfluffle this week about Ichiro getting more hits all time now than Pete Rose. How do you think that should be remembered in the grand scheme?
You know, Pete, you know, so you put an asterisk on it and you say Ichiro has more hits in two countries than Pete Rose had in Major League Baseball. I mean, Pete Rose is the Major League Baseball hit leader. There's
right.
no question about that, and there shouldn't be any question about that. And if you want to note someplace that Ichiro had more hits in Japan than Major League Baseball than Pete Rose had in Major League Baseball, then that's fine. But maybe you should add Pete Rose's, I don't know how many hits he had in the minor leagues, maybe you should add some of those. I mean, as long as it's, you know, as long as the Major League Baseball list says that Pete Rose is the all-time leader, then nobody should mind if somebody indicates with some sort of asterisk that Ichiro had more total hits.
Yeah, yeah, very interesting. And Pete Rose, I feel like he has made sure that he is never getting into the Hall of Fame. Do you see that ever changing?
Well, he certainly has not increased his chances dramatically. I mean, what will be interesting to see is that over the next couple of years with this smaller electorate, probably a younger electorate for the Hall of Fame, because a number of older baseball writers, who, such as myself, who weren't involved daily, are no longer voting for the Hall of Fame. Be interesting to see if there's more tolerance for people like Bonds and Sosa and whatever.
Yeah, we'll see. Philip Hirsch, you can find him at globetrottingbyphiliphirsch.com and follow his stories at teamusa.org. Philip, I hope we get to talk to you again when you get down to Rio.
Thank you very much, Matt. It's my pleasure.
The great Phil Hirsch. Matt Bubala with you here, Radio 720 WGN.